Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call this evening's meeting to order for Tuesday, December 17th. I'd also like to let everyone in attendance know that the board did meet in executive session at 6 o'clock to discuss land, legal, and personnel items. Now, please join me in saying the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Crispin, would you please do the roll call?
Supervisor Court.
Present.
Supervisor Engel.
Here.
Supervisor Moyer.
Here.
Supervisor Weir.
Here.
And Supervisor Sabuda.
Here.
Five present, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Crispin. And now we'll open up our meeting with the first session of public and visitor comment. For those of you who may be new to our meetings, we ask that you give us your name and your address and to try to limit your comments to about 3 minutes. And to help you understand where you are in that 3 minute presentation, we'll turn this light to green when you start. When you've got a minute left, we'll turn it to yellow. And when it's time to wrap up, we respectfully ask that you end your comments as quickly as you can and give others a chance to share their comments as well. With that, if anybody would like to make some comments.
Yes, my name is Larry Moyer, 550 Stafford Church Road. I've been in community most of my life. I'm here to complain about this tax structure and why you spend money on things that's not necessary, like swimming pools and spas and wasting money like that. That's not called for. Our township years ago, the people I knew on there, they were more conservative. The debt that you have here is ought to be a shame, because it shouldn't be no debt. You aren't managing the money properly. And if you need money, what you should do is put a dollar ticket on the Hershey Park and get this township bill paid for, because I think this is one of the best townships you could ever want to live in, but it's not being managed very good for you people.
Thank you, Mr. Moyer. Anyone else like to make some comments this evening?
Linda Iyer, 2321 Raleigh Road. I have comments about agenda item L and agenda item C. Agenda item L, just last week the Auditor General's office posted your audit reports of the police pension funds. The unfunded amount is in excess of $5 million, and there were three findings in the uniformed pension audit that had been found in previous audits and not corrected. I was wondering if there is going to be any discussion when item L is discussed about that. My second question concerning item C is with the financial professionals presenting the $14,400,000 ordinance to borrow the first half of the community center debt. Do they feel that the township's debt rating will remain the same or will be negatively impacted, as was indicated by the last debt downgrade? They were concerned about the increasing debt of the township and the interest rate swaps that the township had entered into, and the risk that that was associated. Also, what is the current legal debt limit, and what percentage will be utilized after this information? And the third question, comment, is have you signed the contracts yet for the general construction contracts yet? It's been a lot of press lately about some problems with the general contractor.
Thank you, Linda. Anyone else have any comments?
Good evening, Sue Myers, Harding Avenue, Hershey. I looked at the agenda. I did not see anything on the agenda regarding recouping traffic, police overtime expenses, when we have a campaign rally being held in Hershey. I was wondering what the progress of that ordinance or policy is. Thank you.
Thank you. Some of the questions are a little bit longer, and I think we'll get to in the course of the evening, but that's a shorter one, so if that's all right with the board, I'll try to provide an answer to Sue. But as you may have read in the newspaper, Scott Wagner had stepped forward to cover the costs incurred by Derry Township and surrounding municipalities to provide police support for the rally on December the 10th. And I believe Mr. Crispin is working out the details of that along with Chief Warner and Mr. Wagner. In terms of moving forward, we have, because of this recent rally, have had conversations with Hershey Entertainment Resorts so that moving forward, we're going to be made aware when these kinds of campaign events are being discussed, and then the board is going to determine how best to move forward. Whatever we do for one, we need to do for all of them, however. So that's something we're going to get back to looking at in January. We don't know of any others that are being scheduled at this point, but it is something that we decided that we wanted to discuss to determine how we could best handle that. So thank you. Is there any other comments? We do have another session of public comment at the end of the meeting if something else gets you later. Hearing none, I'll move on to the adoption of the minutes for November 26th, our public hearing at 5:30, as well as a second public hearing that followed on the same date, the Board of Supervisor meeting minutes on November 26th, and the Board of Supervisor meeting minutes on December the 3rd. And I'd like to ask the board members if there are any changes to any of those meeting minutes. If so, we'll take them individually. If not, then I would just like to ask for a motion for approval for the minutes for both those hearings and the meetings.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Engel.
Second.
Second by Mr. Zamuda. All those in favor?
Aye.
And that motion carries. First item of new business on our agenda tonight is consideration of ordinance number 721 to amend chapter 189, article 4, amusement tax for the purpose of creating an exemption for 501c3 nonprofit organizations. Mr. Crispin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As the board's aware, at your last meeting, you did authorize the administration to move forward with the advertisement of an ordinance specifically to amend chapter 189, article 4, the amusement tax. For the purpose of creating an exemption for 501c3 nonprofit organizations. That ordinance has been duly advertised and is now in a position to be approved by this board. I think we covered all of the details at our last meeting of what those are, and in your packet is a copy of the cover ordinance and the additional attachments that make the codification changes.
Does anyone have any questions about this? Basically, this is good news for nonprofits in Derry Township. Any organization that's a 501c3 would no longer be obligated to pay an amusement tax. The proof would have to come just through the IRS certification that the organization is a 501c3. And this will be a great benefit to the many wonderful arts organizations, in particular in our community, that really struggle to survive each year, but yet provide such an important part of our fabric of our community. So I think this is a good work by this board. Thanks to Rick and Mr. Crispin, as well as Wendy Melbourne and me.
Yeah.
and everyone who's had a role in this. I think this is really a positive thing for our community. It's a long time coming, and for one, I'm very happy that we're moving forward with this. Any other discussion? Hearing none, I'll make a motion that the Board of Supervisors adopt Ordinance 721 to amend Chapter 189, Article 4, Amusement Tax, for the purpose of creating an exemption for 501c3 nonprofit organizations. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Mr. Zamuda. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And that motion carries. Next item on the agenda, B1 through 3, adoption of Resolution Number 1604, providing for the assessment of the cost and expense of the maintenance of streetlights for the Township of Derry, pursuant to Section 2003A of the Second Class Township Code as amended, also providing for the collection thereof. Mr. Crispin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As the board's aware, each year this board approves the assessment for the streetlights within the township. The purpose is to help offset the cost of the streetlights themselves. The township will pay PP&L for the distribution costs and direct energy business for generation and transmission costs incurred throughout the 12-month period. The Dauphin County Tax Assessment Office will bill our residents for the 2020 costs. And so for everyone that's aware, those costs did increase by about 2%.
Any questions? Hearing none, do I have a motion to approve as stated by Mr. Christman?
I'll make that motion.
Made by Mr. Weir. I'll second that. All those in favor?
Aye.
And that motion carries. Next item on the agenda, C1 through 79, discussion and consideration of resolution number 1605 and ordinance number 723, general obligation bonds, series C of 2019. Mr. Christman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. With us this evening is the township's financial team. It's comprised of Lou Verdelli, Tim Horseman, and Scott Shearer. They are going to provide an update of where we are with the borrowing for general obligation bond series C. As you're aware, earlier in October, the board did approve a maximum parameters ordinance, and this is the next piece of it. This now sets up the stage to borrow $14.4 million for the purpose of acquiring, designing, and constructing the new community center project. So we'll turn it over to our team. They can provide you with an update of where our costs are and the schedule for the bonds.
All right. Before you get started, I'm sure you were listening to Mrs. Iyer's questions. They were all good questions and questions that I'm sure everyone has. So if you could try to address them as you go through.
You should be able to address that too.
I figured you would. Thanks.
Are you able to pull that up on the screen? Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Chris, for the introduction. Again, feel free to ask any questions for any one of us here. But yeah, this evening is more or less just a real quick update. As your manager mentioned, why don't we go to page one. This is basically just a continuation of the steps that the township has been taking. I mean, we've been doing a lot of planning, the whole team now, for multiple years on this project and the financing plan, more so the financing plan from our standpoint. And so as mentioned in 1A there, the township did approve a parameters ordinance, a borrowing ordinance, to proceed back in October of this year. Line item below there, basically last week, we along with RBC was actually the underwriter doing the pricing, priced approximately $14.5 million of bonds, part of that parameters ordinance, to begin to fund the project that's been contemplated. The current plan right now is that this will provide, obviously, a large amount of money to fund the project, or at least fund a portion of the project, and then sometime next year we'll be back to the board to look at the second phase of the financing, depending on how the project costs ultimately come in, contingencies used. So more than likely, probably summer, fall of 2020, next year is when we'll be back for that second piece. Again, it really all just depends on the draw schedules and the need of the money. So the other two pages in this handout are more or less just an update, very brief update on the financing that we just completed, or at least priced. But the main action for this evening that your bond counsel has prepared, your legal counsel, is 1D, where there is a resolution before you and the action that needs to be taken. Basically, that to summarize it, it's just looking at a partial termination of that hedge, as well as an extension of the mandatory termination date of that was scheduled for the end of this calendar year, and it's being extended to the end of 2020. So those are basically, to summarize that actual resolution before you this evening, again, it's a partial termination, and if approved this evening, we will be doing that partial termination of the hedge tomorrow morning. We have a call scheduled with your manager and the rest of the finance team to execute that. And then, like I said, the extension of the remaining portion of the hedge that will coincide with the next financing later next year, whether that's next summer or next fall. So real briefly, if you go to the next page, at the top, where it says summary financing, so basically there was about $14.4 million of principal that was issued. That is resulting in a project fund deposit of approximately $14.5 million. As mentioned, the bonds were priced last week, and we're looking to actually close or settle on the transaction on December 30th. And a very important piece of this is the next line item where it says the yield of the issue, the arbitrage yield. So this debt, $14.5 million basically, was locked in at a 2.39%. That's fixed rate for the full term, a very favorable call feature on these bonds as well. The RBC was able to market to their investors. So again, I think the good news here is that you were able to lock in a very, very low rate Again, it's fixed for the term of the transaction. The only way that could be changed is if you took action at some later date in the future to refinance it. And a big part of achieving that 2.39 is a result of the township's credit rating. So the credit rating was reaffirmed again at a AA stable outlook by Standard & Poor's. So again, it's a very good rating that the township was able to maintain. We, of course, you know, have to go through a lot of discussions, the whole team with the rating agency. Your manager has to spend a lot of time speaking with them, providing information. And so the outcome of that, again, was very favorable to the township as well as to the taxpayers here with that very good credit rating. The bottom piece is just the community members associated with it. We can skip that. But also then I think the next page is very important. So as you remember, we've done a couple of public presentations kind of highlighting the debt service impact resulting from the financing, the community center financing. And so this sort of puts it all together. We have now obviously some additional certainty just because we were able to price the first set of bonds. So basically what this does, if you look in column five, so column five right now is the existing debt service with all the township's debt that is obligated to pay out through the term, out through 2040. That's the existing debt service, you know, prior to this new issue that we're talking about this evening. And so you see basically it ranges from about 1 million, goes up to about 1.9, then levels out around 2.3, so on and so forth, out to 2040. So the red section there in column six, that is the actual debt service resulting from the transaction that we just priced last week, a $14.5 million deal. And you can see that related debt service again there in column six. The green is the estimated financing for next year. And then over in column eight would be what that estimated total looks like right now. The good news is that since we've been doing the various analyses for the past year or so, looking at funding this project, this number on the right-hand side continues to go down. So we've had things work in our favor. Obviously, interest rates have continued to cooperate. The hedge has worked out well, and obviously the township has been successful in getting grants and some other funding sources that have really helped keeping the overall debt service down. So, you know, again, column eight is not set in stone yet. There's still that other piece that needs to fit into there, and that's column seven. But, you know, again, as of right now, things have been continuing to improve from an overall budget impact for the debt service out through 2041. So those are the highlights, I think, that we just wanted to mention this evening. I believe all the other question that did come up, and this is just kind of rough numbers, but I believe before the pricing of this transaction, in round numbers, the remaining borrowing capacity of the township was somewhere around $40 million, give or take a little bit. It's probably even a little bit more. So there's obviously plenty of capacity to fund this piece of the project as well as the additional component. So we can get you the actual number, but just from memory, it's somewhere in that $40 million mark as far as what the remaining borrowing capacity of the township is. So those are the highlights. Again, the only action before you is that resolution that, as we summarized, basically just for the allowing for the partial termination of that hedge as well as the extension out through the end of next year. So we're happy to answer any questions you may have.
And I would just add, as kind of helping to describe the resolution, that this is very similar to what we already have done with the hedge in terms of reducing the amount of exposure. Obviously, Scott mentioned we locked in a large portion of the financing last week at a really good interest rate, so we don't need that interest rate protection any longer. So really, the resolution is reducing the hedge by $6 million. So I think that goes to the earlier question, is that this resolution that you have is reducing the hedge down to $14 million. We obviously sized that to be close to the anticipated issuance in 2020. So that's why we're keeping it there for interest rate protection, just on that piece that's out there. So, and then I think as you roll that into what Scott mentioned on the credit rating, obviously the AA stable credit rating was reaffirmed. Chris did a great job on that call. Obviously, one of the things that we were talking about was the project, the financing that was contemplated, and the fact that we would be reducing the outstanding hedge once we put the financing in place. So that was all disclosed to Standard & Poor's. They reiterated the AA rating and has a stable outlook, so there's no negative outlook or anything. And obviously, when you see what that translated to, and that the fact that you borrowed money for 20 years at 2.39%, obviously, the market's very respectful of a AA credit rating.
Can I just ask a quick comment? Can you just explain to the board the recall feature, you know, going from what would normally be like a 10-year call to a 7-year call?
Yeah. Good reminder on that. Typically, when we go over $10 million on an issuance, the bonds are called non-bank qualified. And the investment community that buys non-bank qualified bonds typically looks for 10 years of protection, that they have that interest rate for 10 years. That means it's 10 years that you can't refinance. So we wanted to keep this issue as flexible as possible. Sometimes we can push these down to around eight and a half years. And we just thought last week there was kind of an opportunity. There wasn't too much other stuff pricing in Pennsylvania, so we went with a 7-year call on the issue. So it's just, it increases your flexibility in terms of, as Scott mentioned, if there's a refinancing opportunity in the future, the shorter that call date is, it's just more flexibility. So you don't really see it in the interest rate, but it's a key provision in the documents that we were able to sell the bonds with that 7-year call feature. Thanks for the reminder.
I'll keep it very brief because Scott really did a great job of summarizing the resolution. So resolution 1605, which we drafted and provided to your solicitor for input, resolution indicated would authorize the termination of a $6 million portion of the existing swap and then an extension of the remaining balance of $14 million after December 31, 2020 in connection with the larger finance plan. Otherwise, the resolution has a number of provisions which are required under the terms of the Local Government Unit Debt Act related to the interest rate management plan. And there's also a draft of a confirmation which the township would execute, the township would execute to confirm the termination and the extension of the hedge. If there are any questions, I'm happy to take those.
Any board members have any questions? But is there anything else that you need to add or read? We're good. Now this is a long motion, so if there's no discussion, I'll make the motion and ask for a second. I move to approve Resolution 1605 of 2019, providing for an amendment to the Township's existing $20 million cash settlement interest rate swap related to its $40 million maximum aggregate principal amount of general obligation bonds previously approved for issuance by the Township, to extend the second hedge termination date from December 31st, 2019 to December 31st, 2020, and to reduce the notional amount from $20 million to $14 million. Also move that the Board of Supervisors adopt the duly advertised Ordinance Number 723, General Obligation Bonds, Series C of 2019, authorizing the incurrence of non-electoral debt and the maximum principal amount of $14,400,000. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Mr. Ware. All those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? That motion carries. Thank you all very much for coming this evening. Happy holidays to you. Next item on the agenda, item B, 1 through 19, consideration of resolution number 1606 to implement a township-wide fee schedule effective January 1st, 2020. I got through that whole motion and I couldn't get through that simple thing. Mr. Christman.
Sorry, thank you, Madam Chair. The purpose of this resolution this evening is to establish a unified township-wide fee schedule that will incorporate all of the various fees that the township assesses through a variety of different departments and put it into one unifying document that will be out on the website, and it'll be a lot easier for our residents and any contractors and visitors looking to do work within the township to find what those fees are rather than hunt and peck across the internet. So hopefully this will become a useful tool for folks beyond come here and work, so it's in a position tonight for you to approve this resolution. It is not an ordinance, so therefore if the fees would change during the year, for any reason, if they need to go up or down, the board would have the ability to approve another resolution that would replace this fee schedule at any time.
Do you have any questions? Hearing none, do I have a motion that resolution number 1606 to implement a township-wide fee schedule effective January 1, 2020 is hereby approved?
So
moved. Moved by Mr. Zamuda, seconded by, I'll second it. All those in favor?
Aye.
And that motion carries. Next item on the agenda, item E1 through 8, consideration of the amended stormwater operation and maintenance agreement with Derry Township School District as it relates to the Hershey Community Center project.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This original agreement was entered into with the Derry Township School District as part of the original design for the Community Center project. As a result of the redesign, the stormwater facilities that were previously designed to be located on their property are no longer part of the project. As a result, the agreement needed to be amended, so those changes are in the agreement that's before you this evening. Derry Township School District did approve this agreement last evening at their public meeting, and we're asking for your concurrence this evening.
Any questions for Mr. Medina? Hearing none, do I have a motion that the attached amended stormwater operations and maintenance agreement is hereby approved between the Township of Derry and the Derry Township School District?
I'll make that motion.
Moved by Mr. Weir, seconded by Mr. Engel. All those in favor?
Aye.
And that motion also carries. Next item on the agenda, F1 through 7, consideration of the amended second easement agreement between the Township of Derry Township School District and Derry Township School District related to easements in conjunction with the Hershey Community Center project.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Much the same situation. In the original design, there were several easements that were granted by the Derry Township School District. With the redesign, there's a reduced number of easements that are necessary for this most updated project. In particular, driveway B, which was the widening of the existing culvert that connects the library and library driveway to the community center. Driveway C, which was just another controlled connection to the school district property, vehicular and pedestrian. And lastly, as I mentioned in the previous agenda item, easements for the location of stormwater facilities on their property, which are no longer required. So that necessitated an amended agreement. Once again, the Derry Township School Board approved this agreement last evening at their meeting, and we're asking for your approval this evening.
Any questions, Mr. Manley? Hearing none, do I have a motion that the attached amended easement agreement is hereby approved between the Township of Derry and the Derry Township School District? Moved by Mr. Engel, seconded by Mr. Zamuda. All those in favor?
Aye.
And that motion carries. Next item on the agenda, G1 through 21, adoption of resolution number 1603, authorizing the execution of documents required for PennDOT HOP application number 148175 for the preliminary final subdivision land development plan for 1806 East Chocolate Avenue, Red Roof Inn, site plat number 1290. That sounds like a Mr.
Emery
agenda.
And so it is. Just because that lead in, you've pretty much said everything that needs to happen. Resolution 1603 will authorize my signature on the PennDOT forms. PennDOT does require municipal signatures on the forms. We have prepared an agreement which has been executed with Suite Hotels LLC, binding them to the standards to be practiced throughout the completion of the work approved under the highway occupancy permit. As we did in prior instances where the township was required to be the PennDOT applicant for others to do the work. If you care, I have a picture of the plan.
Do you want me to see it?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Any questions, Mr. Chairman? Hearing none, do I have a resolution or a motion that resolution 1603 is hereby adopted, authorizing Mr. Emmerich, Director of Community Development, to sign the application as stated?
So
moved by Mr. Engel. I'll second that. All those in favor?
Aye.
And that motion carries. Next item on the agenda, H1 through 20, time extension for conditional approval of a preliminary final subdivision and land development plan for Fox Glen Drive, plat 1313. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just as a refresher, this plan took two existing lots, joined it together, created six new lots, one of them already having a home on it. This extension, which is what this is, was on the board's agenda for December 3rd. The board granted an extension to January 31st, 2020, with the intention of having the applicant attend tonight's meeting to answer some concerns related to the neighbors and ENS measures that came from a contractor that was putting fill on the property. Tonight, I do have Tim Grzan and Joel Knowlton here if the board has questions for them. I can tell you that they have received their NPDS permit for the project, and I think they're getting ready to get this started. The Conservation District did visit the site after the mud and so on came through and did write up a report. I believe there were corrections made, but with that introduction,
Oh, good evening. My name is Tim Malott with Malott Engineering, lead engineer on the project before you. We submitted our NPDS permit in March and got comments on November 1st, resubmitted November 6th, and now received our permit in the end here of November, and now can move forward with the later steps. Interimly, the federal courthouse project approached McNaughton. They needed to lose some fill material, so we worked with the county on an erosion control plan for a fill placement for trucking in the material. During that time period, I understand now there was a significant rain event where there was some sediment that went down into the Walton Croft area. One key thing that wanted, and I'm sure Chuck, and if you remember the plan, right now there's 28 acres of uncontrolled stormwater runoff that starts all the way up at Roush Lane that rolls north, comes down, hits Fox Glen Drive, runs down the curb line, rolls right off the curb line, and runs right down to Walton Croft. So there's 28 acres right now of no stormwater runoff, impervious coverage in areas. So part of our plan in working with HRG and Chuck is we're going to be collecting that entire upslope area. So that 28 acres that now currently rolls down to the Walton Croft development will now be collected, conveyed to a large stormwater facility. Then we work with the township to secure permission to actually install storm piping through the township park that literally now will bypass, I'll use the word bypass, Walton Croft. So Walton Croft community is going to be the biggest beneficiary of the improvements. The northern line here of ours, which is the southern line of the Walton Croft, the original plan for that, and I understand we're not pointing any fingers, we know how back in the day plans were old and there's not enough scrutiny with inspections and installations. Thank you. So right here is the limit of Fox Glen Drive. This area up here is the uncontrolled area that flows down, hits Fox Glen Drive, and then this portion rolls straight across. And then right through here, there's a drainage easement on these lots that there's supposed to be a defined swale that's supposed to collect this runoff and convey it to a basin that you can just barely see right there. Some of the folks have the swale, and then some other folks actually have things built right in it. So before that water actually gets there, it leaves the rear, rolls in between units, and goes out to the road, never makes it to the basin. Bottom line is, once we take 23 of that 28 acres, they'll probably never, you know, experience an issue. But in essence, that's what's going on here. Now, don't get me wrong, sediment is sediment. Erosion control measures were implemented per our approved plan through the county, but that just helps remove sediment. And they're only up to certain storm events, and there's still gonna be turbidity. And being here in the Sandy Hill, there's a lot of erosion all over here. So we're anxious and happy that we finally got our permit. Took them a long time to turn us around for us, but the very first thing in the sequence, I'll just tell you real quick, the sequence can consist of the very first thing will be extension of the pipe through the park property up to where the basin is going to be. Then the basin is constructed. And then before any other work takes place, they're building an earthen berm just along Fox Glen Drive that will now cut off all that water and take it to the basin, which then will go through the storm piping and around the Walcroft. Our initial plan, when the county, when the Fed project approached them for the fill, we can only disturb a limited amount of area. So we didn't, you can only do up to less than an acre before the NPDES permit, and that's why what we were waiting for. So this interim plan didn't have the ability for us to go through the measures that we're going to be going through. So I think I'm bouncing around a little bit on you, but at the end of the day, we now finally have the permit in place. It's one of our big elements, which will allow the applicant to follow through with the remaining documentation with, we're past the technical review with HRG, so we'll just be following through, you know, recording the plan, posting our securities, and initiating this construction as I kind of spoke. So I will open it up to any kind of questions you might have.
So I just want to make sure I understand correctly. So you had an opportunity for fill, and you brought fill down and put it on less than an acre because it did not interfere with the NPDES permit. Is that correct?
Which was processed through the county. This wasn't like we just did this on our own. We went to the Dauphin County Conservation District. We have an approved erosion control plan. But being that plan can only disturb an acre, all we could do would be put like large silt sock like below the fill areas. We don't have the ability to collect and convey runoff around Waltoncroft because that's a much more larger project, which is what this is going to be.
So the silt sock was put in place?
The silt sock is in place now. Now, when I read the inspection plate and the inspection report, maybe Joel can remember this a little bit more. I believe they worked with the county initially and did some mulch berms or some tree removal. So sometimes they grind up the trees and use the mulch berms. And I understand if I read correctly, if I missed this, you can just tell me. But I think there was a failure, you know what I mean? Like none of these measures for these perimeter controls, these barrier controls, the sediment basins, they're constructed and based off of drainage areas and things like this. The silt sock is only based off of slope length. So we were in a real precarious situation. It was a difficult scenario because there's so much uncontrolled area up above. So I think what you had was there was mulch berms down there in place. We got a storm event that exceeded the ability for the mulch berms to manage, and there was some sediment in the water. Now, that's only sediment. Like I said, this drainage, we didn't add any impervious coverage. So all this water has always flowed to these places the exact same way. There's been no diversion of water. It's just 28 acres of water. And when you see sediment in it, it just, I guess, catches your eye. But I assure you that is not the first time that has happened.
So I think that if I recall that, you know, this occurred, you were able to take advantage of this opportunity and get the fill there. But I think what it ended up resulting in is this sediment obviously going down, as you said, onto the street and walking across and down through the yards. Is that correct?
The runoff came down, traveled through our disturbance area.
Yeah.
Gathers sediment in the runoff, traveled through our perimeter controls,
which
does remove some of the sediment, but you're still going to have the turbidity and sediment in it, especially with the type of soils that you have here. So that water left our site, drains into their swale, runs along the rear of the property until it gets to a place where people actually got rid of their swales and put things there. And then instead of running to the swale to the basin, it runs straight out the stone gate.
Yeah. So I guess my question would be, is there still any damage, are residents still complaining of damage that occurred because of this, or has it been cleaned up?
So the one complaint that we heard was the road was just paved within days, Tom. And so they had a nice, shiny black road, and the mud came down on it and still hasn't been cleaned up.
And what about the yards, any?
Nothing that I've heard. And again, these, you know, the erosion and sediment control issues are generally routed through the county conservation system and not through my department.
We did respond to the inspection report, addressed everything on the inspection report.
From the county?
Yes.
Have the residents of this area been updated on everything based on the concerns that we heard at the last meeting?
No, because I have no way of contacting them.
The gentleman, I mean, the people who
Ken
are here.
Crawford.
Well, Ken Crawford,
I can.
You did, okay.
So there was a silt sock in place
for this event?
I think they actually implemented a mulch berm.
It was a mulch berm.
Okay.
My plan called out a compost sock, but the plans call out compost sock or equivalents. There's silk fences that could be done, and then wood chip berms, which the wood chip berms, these mulch berms actually work really, really well as long as they don't experience a failure. The moment they experience a failure, it's like a little breach that occurs. And I'm not saying that's exactly what happened. I just glanced at the inspection report, and that's what I had saw.
Could you use your pointer to show where that berm was?
Our fill work was just in this front area right here.
Yes.
Because we can't go past that, a sensitive area, which was identified for steep slopes. So in essence, the sock we put on contour would be right here. Now that green line, just for visual representation, that's a 50-foot buffer off of the property line that we weren't required to, but during the process agreed to leave that as a maintained buffer strip, no tree removal or anything else. But just to give you an idea of the distance.
So that soak sock is in place tonight?
Joel, is that sock in place tonight?
Sock or mulch berms.
I know the inspection report. I don't go out and do all the inspections. I'm the designer, contractor works with the County Conservation District. They received an inspection report, and my understanding is they addressed it. So there's controls in place, whether it's a mulch berm or it's a compost sock. I can't answer that question, but I'm happy to get back to you on that.
Well, the mulch berm was obviously inadequate last time, right?
Well, erosion control measures are only designed for certain storm events. Now, I believe that that magnitude event was more than just...
I believe that's what happened, too. I think the storm overwhelmed the ENS features.
And will the silk sock impede more sediment than a mulch berm?
The mulch, the compost sock will be less susceptible to a failure. Meaning when I say failure, the sediment builds up enough on the mulch berm, in theory you could push it open and then you'd have like a little breach. That wouldn't occur with the compost sock because it's intact.
Yeah, so my concern is we had a gentleman come in last time, showed us some pretty convincing photographs of significant sediment that had washed down due to a failure of the mulch berm. As we sit here today, and you're telling me that SOC now might be a little less susceptible to failure, and as we sit here today, we still have a mulch berm instead of a SOC in place. Am I right so far?
I can't confirm or deny whether it's a SOC or a mulch berm.
So the whole reason but the major reason why we wanted you here tonight was to see what the problem was and what had been done, if anything, to remediate it. I'm not hearing a lot of remediation going on. Excuses as to why the sediment washed down through there, but I haven't really heard any sort of redress to the homeowners who have experienced that sediment.
The problem is it's 28 acres of uncontrolled stormwater runoff, and the only reason it went through the lots is because they removed the swale that was supposed to be there.
Okay.
So I can appreciate that, and as I indicated, our plan, which is a lot of expense, also improvements and everything else, is going to correct these issues. We processed the permits, we finally got it in place, and we're ready to move forward, which will address that issue.
When?
As soon as you allow us to.
Chuck, do you and HRG feel comfortable with this?
I can tell you that the developer exceeded the normal care of stormwater in the design. What Tim's saying about controlling this 23 acres of upland, when the road actually gets built and the storm system gets put in, it's going to make it so much better for the adjacent property.
Understood that. That's great. Wonderful. What happens in the interim? And have we done everything we possibly could to prevent a recurrence of what has happened that brought those homeowners here to us last week?
If the SOC's not in place, we'll make sure that that is in place.
Yeah.
If the county worked with the contractor and said, hey, we're fine with the mulch berm, we'll retouch base
I think
the SOC.
Perhaps where Mr. Moyer may be headed is, you know, for us to go ahead and move forward with this tonight, we need a little bit more of an assurance that things will be taken care of to protect the residents that are nearby. I don't know if we can make
the plan. This plan is the only thing that's going to protect the residents.
And I got that, but I'm just concerned about doing what we can now to reduce as much as possible the likelihood of recurrence.
Joel McNaughton with Fox Glen Associates. Am I correct that those pictures were from like August? I believe those were the pictures you saw were from August 3rd, the date that you gave me. That was the information. But, you know, there was a major storm in August. That's the pictures that we saw. We had inspection by the Conservation District, and the site was addressed back into compliance with the Conservation District. We had a more recent inspection in October, again, addressed to the satisfaction of the Conservation District. I haven't seen pictures or heard a thing from anybody since those pictures on August the 3rd.
Okay, I'm looking for the December 3rd minutes right now. Maybe somebody can assist me on that and identifying the particular photographs that were shown. My understanding was it may have been an older photograph, but the majority of them were more recent than that.
Okay, well, exchanges with staff, we were told that they were from August, the first week of August.
Right.
Well, when did you stockpile the fill there? This happened shortly after you stockpiled.
Well, through mid-summer till the end of the summer, but that work's been stopped since probably close to that August time frame. We've been sitting waiting for MPDS approval.
With the July rain. He spoke to the agreement floating in the newly pitched part. So, yeah, at least the minutes say July rain. I don't know whether or not.
I'm just coming back for that.
That would make more sense because I searched the weather reports for the first week of August, and we were like in drought conditions. So there was some heavier rains towards the end of July.
Yeah. And I could be wrong with the photos. So.
Yeah.
But I can assure you, I'm going to go do a site inspection tomorrow and coordinate with the county. And if anything needs addressed,
that would be great. I'm just trying to address the concerns that were brought to us as to we're doing what we can at this time. I understand the project hopefully is going to live up to its
absolutely. It doesn't standards. Mean we leave a bad condition until that happens. Totally
right.
Understand.
Right. And that's all I think all of us are really concerned about, that we minimize the risk of that happening again.
We're happy to commit to you right now that that's what we intend
to do. Yeah, to even go above and beyond what the county might even ask for.
Right.
Yes.
I think it's because you are, you sort of described the problem. It's 28 acres, and this is a typical development issue, but it's exacerbated in this situation in the short term. So
true.
I personally don't know how much silt stocks cost, but it's, just to go above and beyond what the county's doing, and the residents are protected.
That's all we're going to do.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Just for a clean record of the packet emails, the pictures were from August 3rd.
Okay.
Four of them in here. Late July, early August.
A quick question about the new berm. Now, you said that's going to be just north of Fox Glen Road?
The new one.
As
the basin?
To get to the basin. Where's the new berm going to be?
The berm, the berm is a temporary condition. Once the road and curbing is in place, that's the cutoff. But the concern would be during the construction period so before any more work happens in here, storm pipe comes up to here, this basin's built, this storm section's built to this point.
Yes.
Then there's a berm built to here the whole way over to where the curb stops. Water run down, either hit running down Fox Glen Drive curb line will hit this berm, or any runoff that's already to the east of the limit of Fox Glen will hit the berm. But once the berm's in place, they're down to the 2.3 acres versus 28.
What's your timeline for completing what you just said?
The once we start the work itself?
Yeah.
I would say the storm pipe is probably, the first thing they would do is go just implement some temporary control measures. That would probably take like 2 days. And then they would probably install that storm piping in 2 to 3 days, build that basin in another 2 to 3 days to a week. The storm pipe, that section, another couple of days. So I would say 2 to 3 weeks will get you to the point where it's time to put that berm in place. Can't put that berm in place until there's something ready to collect it and manage it properly.
That's the problem. We have concentrated water that's coming off of. Even if the runoff from Fox Glen, if it was a sheet flow condition, it might not be so bad. But the water right now hits Fox Glen Drive and it runs down the curb line, right off the curb line. So you have all that water in a concentrated format that runs off right there. So that, I don't know if I explained that.
No, you
didn't. Yeah, that's fine.
Well, thank you very much for
that. Not a problem, and we wish that wouldn't happen to anybody, quite frankly, so.
So in light of that discussion, I am recommending that the board extend the conditional approval for plat 1313 until December 11th, 2020, subject to items A through K, which I read at the last meeting. And it's not necessary for the board to take any further action on the waivers that were previously granted.
Any questions? So you need a motion, though. You're saying on those items, we don't need to discuss them anymore. Do I have a motion to grant conditional approval of the preliminary final subdivision and land development plan for Fox Glen Drive, plat 1313, extended to December 11th, 2020, subject to compliance with conditions A through K in Mr. Emmerich's agenda item?
Did you say a motion for conditional approval or time extension for
That it's extended until December 11th, 2020.
Extending the conditions of approval.
Got it. Okay.
I'm sorry if I said that wrong. I'm not sure that.
Correct.
So moved by Mr. Engel.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Zanuda. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda, item I, 1-4. Reduction of the performance security provided for the preliminary final land development plan and stormwater management site plan for the Hershey Wastewater Treatment Plan relocation plat 1273. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The developer has requested a reduction of the security based on improvements that have been completed to date. HRG has performed an inspection and provided a written recommendation that $859,486.67 is eligible for relief, for release. If approved by the board, the new balance of security would be $95,498.52, which is what my recommendation is.
Questions? I'll make a motion to approve by Mr. Emmerich. Second.
Seconded
by Mr. Samuda. All those in favor?
Aye.
And that motion carries. Next item on the agenda, item J1-8, acceptance of financial security for the stormwater management plan for Updegrove Pool Project S-2019-015. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you. This pool project is located at 2221 Church Road in Hummeltown. The applicant is Gary and Wendy Updegrove. HRG reviewed the cost estimate prepared by the applicant's engineer and recommended that financial security in the amount of $9,298 is to be provided. The applicant has indeed provided the cash security and has executed the standard agreement with the township. I'm recommending that the Board of Supervisors accept the financial security and enters into the agreement to provide security with Gary and Wendy up to the board.
Questions for Mr. Emmerich? If there are none, I'll make a motion to approve the stated. Do I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Zabuda. All those in favor?
Aye.
And that motion carries. Next item on the agenda, reduction K1-4, reduction of the performance security provided for the preliminary final subdivision plan for Woodland Hills Plat 1203. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you. Believe it or not, Woodland Hills was approved in 2014. It was recorded January 2015. The plan depicted the subdivision of 15 acres into 5 new lots. Township is presently holding performance security in a reduced amount of $90,806.13. The developer has requested another reduction of the security. HRG has performed an inspection and provided written recommendation that an additional $3,795 is eligible for relief per release.
Wow.
If approved by the board, the new balance of the security would be $87,011.13. Which is what my recommendation is.
So if there are no questions, I'll make a motion to approve as stated by Mr. Emmerich. Do I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Weir. All those in favor?
Aye.
And that motion carries. Next item on the agenda, revision of, that's L1, revision of the 2020 minimum municipal obligation MMO for the non-uniform pension plan originally submitted at the September 24th, 2019 meeting. Slots.
Thank you. Previously, I informed the board of the township's 2020 MMO obligation. Recently, an error was noticed in the estimated wages for the non-uniform plan, resulting in an increase to the MMO of $78,482. This information is required to be shared to the board by Act 205. I'm sharing it with you. There's no motion that's needed. There's no resolution that needs to be passed. It's just me informing the board of the additional obligation amount.
Can I just address the question earlier? We had about the police pension plan. There was a question raised about the Auditor General's report. As the board is aware, the pension documents that were required to adopt pursuant to both of the non-uniform and the uniform pension plan, there's a Kilden service benefit as required under Act 600. The state law had changed a number of years ago, and therefore a lot of the requirements within pension documents need to be changed, which means the whole plan document needs to be revised and adopted by the board. That is the findings that were found in the most recent findings, and it was one that had been noticed. This change in state law occurred a number of years ago, and a lot of municipalities have this issue where they're trying to address this Kilden service benefit. And so you have to get your actuaries to revise the plan and make sure that the Kilden service benefit language is modified. Once that's complete, we bring that back to the board as a revised document. You approve it, and those findings go away at the next valuation. So I just wanted to clear that up if there was a concern by the board, just so you understand where we are.
Were there any other recommendations made?
Yeah, these were all related to that, to the changes in ordinance, yes. Okay.
Do
you
have any questions? Hearing none, we'll move on to the next agenda item, which is M1 through 22, approval of updated job descriptions for staff at the Hershey Public Library.
Thank you. With the anticipated departure of two full-time employees and the recent departure of one part-time employee, the library had the opportunity to redefine the organizational structure to improve efficiencies and streamline workflows. So the job descriptions that you're considering today are not for additional or new positions, but rather updates to existing positions. And it is a budget neutral since there's no new positions that are being considered.
Are the motions required then?
I'm sorry.
Is there a motion required then?
Yes, any change in job descriptions.
So just
would require board approval.
Does anyone have any questions?
Yeah, just in what way were they changed?
So a lot of the way we spend, well, it depends on the job. So one of them, what used to be a reference librarian position, is now managing the resources as a whole. The resources are now much beyond books. There are databases and a lot of the non-traditional items that we lend, and also how we relate to a larger consortia of libraries. They're going to oversee the interlibrary loan department. And then the other full-time job that we're changing is the public services manager. What used to be a circulation manager is now a blend between what once was reference, was once was circulation, and also managing the children's desk, just like another public service desk in the library. So we're really allowing staff to work in multiple places so they're cross-trained and can kind of schedule easier since people aren't in these siloed departments anymore. We're just kind of spreading out the work among all of the staff that we have.
How long has it been since it was updated last?
Well, when I first took this position about 3 years ago, I updated some small changes just to kind of bring them into like the modern way we talk about libraries. But now with some people leaving, we had a chance to really change things. And I think it's gonna make, when we have an idea, it's gonna be a shorter period of time from idea to execution before there was a lot of kind of processes that we had to go through to get anything done.
Okay. That's all.
Yeah.
Any other questions from the board? Hearing none, I'll make a motion to approve the updated job descriptions for staff at the Hershey Public Library. Do I have a second? Second by Mr. Warner. All those in favor?
Aye.
And that motion carries. Next item on the agenda, N1, approval of a traffic maintenance contract for the years January 1, 2020 through December 31st, 2022. Mr. Clark.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In the latter part of November, we appropriately advertised for bids for traffic signal maintenance for the 36 traffic signals throughout the township. This is routine maintenance as well as emergency repairs when needed. On December 3rd, we received one bid that was opened at the Public Works Facility from Pennsylvania Perks for $19,656 for the term of the contract. That equates to $6,552 per year. They are our current contractor and have been for the last two contracts. A good note here, a good point to bring out is that is the same amount that the previous three-year contract was as well. So they maintain their same price for the new contract. For that reason, we're recommending that the board award the bid for traffic signal maintenance services to PA Perks or three-year term of the contract in the amount of $19,656.
Thanks, Mr. Clark. Any questions for Tom? Hearing none, do I have a motion to authorize entering into a three-year contract for the maintenance of the traffic signals with Pennsylvania Perks for a stated price of $19,656?
So
moved. Moved by Mr. Weir. I'll second that. All those in favor?
Aye.
And that motion carries. Final item on the agenda tonight, 0132, adoption of ordinance number 722, amending the code of Township of Derry, ordinance number 553, chapter 210, stop intersections established by establishing a multi-way four-way stop sign controlled intersection at the intersection of Plum Street and Peach Street. Chief Warren.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A traffic study was conducted after receiving residents' complaints about traffic volume and driver behavior at the uncontrollable four-way intersection of Plum Street and Pete Street. The study looked at traffic volume, traffic speed, and corner sight distance values. There's some obstructions right at the intersection there, and the roadway is being used as a cut-through by other motorists. Based off the data obtained and the applicable study guidelines, it has been determined that a multi-way stop is justified. Study data is retained as part of the traffic safety unit files. On November 12th, the board approved the advertisement of this proposed ordinance amendment, and on December 5th, the public notice appeared in the Sun. And Chuck pulled up the edits right in the middle of that picture of the intersection there.
Because I can.
Obviously, with the dry weather, that wasn't taken today.
That's sunny, too.
Yes. So you see, there's some buildings there that obstruct sight distance. So it's a little bit more unique at this intersection because you have a four-way intersection of alleyways.
Ordinance number 722, amending the code of Township of Derry, ordinance number 553, to establish a multi-way four-way stop sign control intersection at the intersections of Plum and Peach Streets.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Weir.
Awesome.
Second by Mr. Moyer. All those in favor?
Aye.
And that motion carries. Now we move on to correspondence, and I'm actually going to take it first tonight, so tossing it down to Rick, because I wanted to kick things off. As many of you know, this is tonight the last board meeting for Mr. Weir and for Mr. Engel, and they have served our community very, very well for 6 years. It's probably a bittersweet night for both of them, because when you do this job, you do it because you love this community, and it's I think going to be a little tough for them because they're both so invested, and you may see them up here at these meetings, but what you don't see are what they do the other 6 days of the week and the other 29-30 days of the month. Both of these gentlemen are heavily invested in attending board meetings and committee meetings and being on the phone and talking with residents, and they do it not because it's their job, they do it because they love this community. It has been my honor and privilege to serve with the both of you, and I miss the two of you sitting up here, and I just want to thank you because you have put in an awful lot of work in for this community, and our township is a lot better for all the service that you put in for it. So I appreciate all that you've done.
I'll get to my farewell in a second. There's two things I have for you. The holiday gala at downtown was great last weekend. A lot of people ran out of hot chocolate again. So we have to increase
that. Was only our only problem.
We had a boatload of cookies left over, so but we could use some hot chocolate.
I told them so.
Okay, the next thing I have for you, the letter I had mentioned that we were going to send off to PennDOT and our representatives had is done. I think the board has had a chance to look at it, and I'd like to know if, from you guys, if we should go ahead and have Mr. Crispin sign it and move on with it.
Yeah, I don't believe we need a motion to have you send that letter. I think just expressing to the public and for the record that there's agreement among board members to move forward with issuing that letter in hopes that it does.
Right. If you're unfamiliar with the letter I'm speaking about, it was about the Middletown Road and the new warehouse is being built outside of the township. Middletown Road area was not included in their traffic study. We are requesting that PennDOT put the Middletown Road area in their traffic study to account for the increased traffic that we're going to be getting from trucks and cars coming and going from that area.
Yeah, Rick, when you first mentioned this in a meeting, my first reaction was, well, it's not going to do anything. They don't care. But the more we thought about it and the more we talked with our engineer, it was a great suggestion. It's a well-written letter. They're real concerns. They're real concerns that PennDOT, we can't allow PennDOT to continue to sort of ignore the impact that it's the Rutherford Yard connection to 230 has on Middletown Road. It's major. So, great suggestion.
Yeah, okay. Definitely. We'll make sure we get the letter into the packet and out to the press so that people can see what's being done on behalf of their township.
Are we going to actually send the letter out to the Sun, Patriot?
I think we should.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you could send it to me, that would be great.
You're welcome.
Okay. Now, my farewell. And I typed it up, so I won't screw it up. As this is the last Board of Supervisors meeting of the year, and the last one for the two of our longest serving members, I would personally like to thank them and recognize them for their contributions, not just to this group as a whole, but to myself and the community itself. When I came on board, I was given all kinds of advice as what to do, and more importantly, what not to do. But nothing had prepared me for the speed of light education I was about to experience, and still do to this day. Matt Weir became my de facto mentor, essentially pointing me in the direction where I would do the most good and the least harm. I took most everything he advised to heart, which helped me navigate the choppy seas of adjusting to the new situation I found myself in. After a period of time, Friday lunches over pizza and beer, scores of telephone calls, we became friends off the board as well, exchanging thoughts on trees, woodworking, and of course, pizza. Matt was a huge asset to this board and will be sorely missed for his measured tones and opinions on the board, as well as concerns for the natural environment of our community. Matt has my lasting respect as a mentor and friend, and I wish he and his wife, Jan, all the best. Justin. The second member of our board whose term is up. While I was campaigning in 17, I was warned by a number of folks to be wary of you for a variety of reasons, none of which have proved to be true in my observation. When I was sworn in 18, the community center project was in its nascent stages of design. Justin, along with other community leaders, began looking for another supervisor to join and assist the team in moving the project forward. No one else volunteered that day. Guess who did? I, wanting to know all the things I could, and living within a stone's throw of the existing center, did so. Little did I expect that the next 2 years would be filled with hundreds of hours of early morning meetings, hours of research into community centers across the country, and the reading of thousands of pages of reports. Along with those meetings and readings were the unexpected emotional highs and lows of the project itself. Justin was always steady in his resolve to move the project forward
and always did so with purpose, whatever the issue may have been. While Justin would occasionally rub folks the wrong way, he was a huge asset to the board and the community as a whole, being the catalyst for a number of large and small initiatives that have affected our entire community and will for decades to come. Justin will be sorely missed as a voice of possibilities, or vision, as he's wont to say, by this board and the community as a whole. I wish him well. Both of these men have sacrificed 6 years of their lives, attending thousands of hours of meetings, suffering through countless sleepless nights, and spending hundreds of hours of their own time crafting legislation at little compensation for the betterment of our community. Both men deserve our gratitude for their sacrifice and perseverance. In closing, I'd like to offer an Old Navy toast to them both. I wish you fair winds and following seas.
Well, before my comment, I do have some questions regarding the community center. What is the status with the contracts and the meeting with the contractors?
Thank you, Mr. Moore.
Just as an update to the board, I reached out to Mr. Kousis this afternoon to try to get an understanding of where we are within the contract process. As you are aware, contracts were awarded to the lowest responsible bidders a year or two ago. And so we are in the process of waiting still for bonds and insurance. That paperwork is due back to the township tomorrow, December 18th. Pending that review that it meets the requirements of the contracts themselves, they would be in a position to be executed this Friday at a pre-construction meeting. So I anticipate, barring any major problems with submissions, all of the contracts should be executed Friday.
Okay, thank you. I'm wondering whether it would be wise to perhaps, in light of recent comments by our supervisors-elect, Ms. Nutt and Mr. Wyckoff, and that there's a distinct possibility that the there might be significant material changes to the size and scope of the project, whether it be worthwhile to put those contractors on notice on the meeting on Friday, or through a letter before that meeting.
What kind of changes to size and scope?
I don't know.
Well, let's get it.
Yeah, I don't know, so I can't articulate that.
But then we're just speculating. I mean, that's the thing. We have to act.
Well, there's
I haven't heard any solutions. Or yeah. Everybody's been privy to all the information for years.
Well,
but I haven't heard any solutions.
Well, I don't think there's really any options off the table, actually.
Well, we've heard that, but that doesn't. But we haven't heard what's on the table for discussion. Right. So I think it's all speculative at this point.
All right, I'm just suggesting that those contractors be put on notice, but if the majority of the support doesn't think that's sufficient or necessary, so be
it. I personally don't think that's necessary at this point.
No, I don't either. I mean, even if the issue of signing contracts wasn't an issue, and we were to redesign this community center, we would probably spend $1 million to $1.5 million to do so, to make it smaller in some fashion. And I don't know how you would make it smaller, but if, for example, you were to take the senior center away, not only would that ruin the ability to have the senior center there and to have intergenerational programs, it would also limit our ability to rent that space at night, which is a major revenue driver for the community center. If, for example, you were to take off the leisure pool, thinking that that would save money, well, you would dramatically impact your ability to sell memberships, which is another way to support the community center. And if you were to change the community center and make it smaller, you'd probably incur another $1 million to $1.5 million in redesign. You would launch this project down another year to 2 year delay, and invariably the cost to build the community center, because the costs increase about 3% a year, would increase more. So you'd essentially be paying more to get less, and you'd be waiting longer to have it. So until we hear any suggestions, because we've never heard all the opposition
We've never heard an alternative solution. I know you had suggested at one point, let's renovate the existing building, and we did have our consultants look into that, and it was almost expensive to renovate the space that we have as it was to build new. We looked at building community centers in other locations, and that was cost prohibitive. So I'm really not sure what the suggestions would be to reinvent what has been worked on for the last 6 years, but I'm telling you right now that it would be expensive to do it, and you'd end up getting less and waiting longer to have it. And I think that's a huge disservice to this community.
Okay. And I've heard that before, and I look forward to possibly having those discussions in the years moving forward with the next board. So just put that out there. I understand your sentiments, and I think you've understood mine. And in January, we'll see what happens. With respect to Justin and Matt, both of you bring a very unique set of skills to this board, which are extremely appreciated by myself. I've learned a great deal from your perspectives on things. In addition to your unbridled enthusiasm to the projects and those special areas, I would like to think that I am more knowledgeable and a better person for having worked with you two gentlemen during these past 6 years. I've gained a great deal of knowledge and a great deal of experience with respect to your involvement. Your time commitment, as Rick indicated, is incredible is the only word that comes to mind on that, and oftentimes is underappreciated, but not by me. I acknowledge it, I appreciate it, and I thank you both for your personal commitment. I know it's taken a tremendous personal toll on both of you in terms of personal sacrifice and the times that you could be devoted to other endeavors that many people do. But that time was spent instead on township business selflessly. So I respect both of you immensely and greatly appreciate the hard work you've put in over these past 6 years.
Thank you.
Thank you. Which one of you wants to go first?
I'll go first. It's been a real privilege to work with the township. I've met so many fine people that I'm really proud to call friends, the staff in this township, so much dedication, the volunteers who are always out there to help, and I'm talking about hundreds of people, the people that constantly gave you encouragement and made suggestions of how we could better this community that we love. And I would be remiss not to thank my wife. You know, when I signed up for this job, I also signed her up for hundreds of nights when I wasn't home and I was disrupting our dinner. And she encouraged me and helped me all the way. So thank you, Jen. She's here tonight. I love you more.
Thank you. Thanks for lending him to us. I have some comments I've prepared that I want to talk about, but before that, just a quick update on the ICDA. So we, as the board I think is aware, the ICDA has been working on restructuring the financing for the past 5 years, and we've gotten there. And so the gentleman who were here earlier will be executing a transaction before the end of the month. So we're restructuring $45 million, and it's going to be a really great thing for the Giant Center. Really takes care of some of the long-term capital needs. And so we're leaving, I feel like we're leaving the ICDA, but this it's a successful financial restructuring, and it also results in the ICDA having some money in the bank. Really nice. Yeah. So I've prepared some comments before the meeting that I just want to share. I decided to run for supervisor 7 years ago because I was frustrated. I was frustrated because it seemed that the town that I grew up in and loved was not being progressive. It was stuck in a status quo from a planning perspective, despite the fact that its largest enterprises continued to grow. Important issues were not being addressed. Now it was the couple. The comprehensive plan had not been updated in 25 years. No significant planning efforts were occurring. The zoning ordinance was outdated, resulting in the zoning hearing board being one of the most active township boards. The recreation center was dilapidated, and no reserves had been put away to do anything about it. The fire station was in dire need of renovation. All of our millions and millions of dollars, probably close to $10 million, of stormwater needs were unfunded. And despite downtown improvement being talked about for 25 years, little was advancing. We've taken care of a lot of these issues over the past 6 years, and yes, we've taken on debt to do some of them. But for the first time in this township's history, our capital needs are scheduled and funded for 7 years into the future. If managed efficiently, which I'm sure it will be, the township should not need any or very minimal tax increases in the decades ahead. I want to thank the Derry Township staff and leadership. I know that I can be passionate and not always the easiest to work with. Thank you for your patience. I have a great deal of respect for each one of you. Derry Township taxpayers are fortunate to have you working for them. I also want to thank my fellow supervisors. Day in and day out, we argue, we debate, and sometimes we even get along. But the bottom line is, I think the world of each one of you, and it's been a pleasure serving. I want to wish the new supervisors luck in their new position. Being a supervisor is a very difficult job to do while balancing full-time work and family. It consumes a lot of thought and energy. Most of all, I want to thank the Derry Township residents for electing me and allowing me for 6 years to help lead the town where I grew up. Thank you.
Justin, Matt, I appreciate your service to the board, to the community, and to the staff here. You guys were always willing to listen if we needed to explain something about what we do in the police department. Sometimes it's not always known, and you always took the time to listen and listen well as far as being constructive, as far as things that you wanted us to accomplish, and kind of some of the pushback that we provided as far as how we can go about that. So I appreciate that. Thank you for your service.
Good evening. I want to first thank the supervisors for their support and dedication to the fire department. The last 3 years that I've sat here, it's been a great working relationship with you all. And I wish the two outgoing supervisors all the best and appreciate their time. Two additional things. This is the 12th year that we did our Santa runs last week. They were met with great success and we had a lot of fun doing them. And lastly, our truck committee went out to Wisconsin to do the final inspection, and we expect to see that truck probably mid-January back here. It won't be in our station yet. It'll get back to Pennsylvania for equipment mounting, but that's about the time frame for now.
Send our thanks and our community's thanks for the Santa runs. It spread a lot of joy in our community.
I will let him know.
He's going to be busy in the next couple of days.
He is.
Tom.
Just aware of the process of converting our whole fleet over to salt, so there is no more leaf collection that will be occurring, unfortunately. Thank you.
Tom, if people still have leaves, can they just bring them to the recycling center?
Yeah, they can certainly.
Like?
Yes, they can certainly come to the recycling center. And we can get a certain amount on the sweeper, but large volumes we can't get anymore.
Thank you. Thanks for a great job.
I just want to let everyone know that in January, the construction of the library is going to get more disruptive than it has been. The power floor is going to be worked on, which means you have to demolish the power floor, and that covers a significant portion of the public space. So we will be open during that time, but with very limited services. and then we will be closed maybe one day or 2 days when they're pouring concrete in what once was the power floor. But once we have that date, we will make that very well advertised. So that's coming up. I also want to thank the police department for sending an officer over to the library when we requested one for a meeting that may have gotten rowdy, which I did not think of this. And finally, I want to say thank you to Justin and Matt for serving on this board, being here at these meetings. It's really not an easy position for you folks to be in, and anyone who takes it on because they really care about their community. So thank you very much. I felt very supported by this board, and I very much appreciate it.
I have nothing this evening. Thanks.
No report, just want to wish everyone a very merry and peaceful Christmas. Thank you.
Thank you. HRG.
We have no report this evening. Thank you.
Thank you. Chuck? We have a conditional use application in for KOA, which is the Pinehurst, the former Pinehurst Inn. That hearing needs to be scheduled now, even though we're going to be seating new supervisors, because of advertising obligations. I'm looking at having that hearing January 28th at 6 p.m.
Matt and I approve.
Yeah. And speaking of Matt, I knew both of you before you were seated as supervisors, and I think we've really built a great friendship, and you'll both be missed.
Thanks, Chuck.
Thanks, Chuck. Lauren?
First, so thank you to everyone that came out and volunteered at the holiday celebration. Thank you, Chairman McCourt, along with our DHA Chair, Scott Fosnett, for serving as MCs. Thank you, Supervisor Moyer, Supervisor Muto, for volunteering that day. We'll work on the hot chocolate, I promise. Can't get it fast enough. Thanks to Matt and his department for your help in preparing the park and assisting with some of the event planning. To Michelle Kopp, who served as our event lead, and to the fire department for their very important job in transporting Santa on his fire sleigh. So I think overall it was a very nice event for the community.
Which timed out perfectly to the end of Here Comes Santa.
Yes.
If you watch the video, it's pretty miraculous.
Yes, it was. It was very nice. So so thank you for everyone who contributed there. Matt and Justin, I've really enjoyed working alongside of you on numerous projects and really excited to see some more trees going in next year. So best wishes to both of you, and hopefully we'll continue to see you in some capacity. So, and Merry Christmas.
Sorry, Lauren, all kidding aside, the event was incredibly well organized, extremely fun. It was just a great event, as it has been for the last several years. So thank you for you and for organizing your involvement in that project. And if anybody hasn't come to that event, it's a blast. It's great. It's fun. It really makes our town a town.
And just part of the nice overall things that we do here at the holidays, moving into a Saturday, I think was nice.
I thought it was great. I've heard a lot of feedback on that too, because Friday nights was so difficult to get home from work, fighting the traffic. People were exhausted at the end of a long week, I heard a lot of positive comments about, hey, we finally can come because we now have time to come, and we don't have to rush to dinner. We have to rush home from work.
But together, that event with the fire department providing the Santa Claus runs and the decorations downtown with the tree the Hershey Company gives us for the event, and all the things that you're doing with the Downtown Hershey Association to bring more shoppers downtown to look for snow, and a lot of excitement and a lot of good things happening downtown. So
thanks.
I echo your comments. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Mr. Chrisman, anything for you this evening?
Sure. Just to quickly thank Justin and Matt for serving on the board. I'm obviously the newest face in the room still, and when I started with you, half my face didn't work. So that's good. I just want to say thank you. It takes a lot for people to decide that they want to engage in public life and volunteer their time and efforts to make their community better. It is not an envious position. You stand and sit here and take a lot of abuse meeting after meeting, but it's because we live in a very passionate community about a lot of issues. And so for that, I say thank you. Thank you for being tempered. Thank you for your commitment to this community, and thank you for everything that you've done. I think as boards change over time, each of you leave a small fingerprint on this community, and you know that does not go unnoticed. And somebody who sits in this seat as the manager sees boards change over time, and that's a unique position. So I get to see all of the cumulative efforts that you make together over time, and I'm happy to be a part of that, and I just want to thank you for all of your commitment and time. So thank you.
Thank you for a great first year. Come back next year.
Well, says the left half is working, the right half is working, so we're okay.
All right, well then let's move on to approval of accounts payable of $616,675.61 and payroll of $331,708.63. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Okay, Mr. Zamuda. And I'll second that motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
And that motion carries. Now it is time for our final session of public comment for 2019. So if there's anything you would like to share,
I'd like to say something, Mr. Moore, board members.
Mr. Moore, could you please just give us your name and your address again so we have it on the record?
My name is Larry Moyer, and I lived in the township most of my life. I feel you people on the board up there ought to be ashamed that you're willing to put this township in debt like you want to. If you read God's word, you're not supposed to be in debt all your life. And you should make it. The amount of money that you're spending on stuff is not necessary. Swimming pools, spas, and stuff like that. That's not necessary. You ought to get down to business and do what the tax. I bet 90% of the taxpayers are thinking the way I'm thinking. You're wasting the taxpayers' money.
Thank you, Mr. Moyer. Anyone else have any comments this evening? Hearing none, I would like to take an opportunity to first thank everyone who came out this evening on a very busy week leading up to the holidays. Thank you. Thank you for attending throughout the year. We do appreciate your comments and your concerns. A very, very big thank you and heartfelt happy holidays to our staff. Works so hard year-round and really makes sitting up here and being a supervisor actually pretty wonderful, because you guys do a wonderful job and you make everything that we do so much easier. So wish you all very, very happy holidays and a peaceful and happy new year. And to my fellow board members, the same thing. We may not be a board after the next minute, but we will forever be friends because of what we've gone through over the last few years. And thank you, Justin. Thank you, Matt. And thanks to Rick, and Mark, Chris, and John for all your guidance this year.
Happy holidays.
I didn't forget the light, and happy holidays. All right, I'm gonna give myself a buzzer. Thank you all for coming, and happy holidays, everyone.